Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program of Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson, and produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 811 for release on Sunday, September 8th, 2024. On the program today, a Radio Caroline update. Our first report about the HFCC B24 Shortwave Frequency Coordination Conference in Uzbekistan. And our Philippine DX report from Henry Umatai. Many people worldwide are familiar with the name Radio Caroline, the offshore ship-based station which first broke the monopoly of BBC radio in the UK in the 1960s. They may be less familiar with the fact that the station has continued to operate down through the decades and is not only still a presence on the airwaves in Great Britain to this day, but is actually thriving with now two full-time channels on a variety of platforms. Ray Robinson in Los Angeles has been a presenter on one of those channels for over 4 years now. So here he is with an updated profile of the station.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, the potted history of Radio Caroline goes something like this. The station was founded by an Irishman, Ronan O'Reilly, who, as a record promoter and pop group manager, had been frustrated that neither the BBC nor Radio Luxembourg would play his records. His solution was to start his own station, and Radio Caroline first began test transmissions on Good Friday, March the 27th, 1964. Regular programming started the following day at 12 noon.
This is Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station. We are on the air every day from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. The time right now is 1 minute past 12, and that means it's time for Christopher Moore.
Hello and happy Easter to all of you. This is Christopher Moore with the first record program on Radio Caroline. The first record is by the Rolling Stones, and I'd like to play it for all of the people who worked to put the station on the air, and particularly for Ronan.
The station used as its broadcasting base a converted 763-ton Danish passenger ferry, the MV Fredericia, which the station renamed the MV Caroline. Initially, the ship was anchored in the North Sea, about 5 miles off the coast of Felixstowe, Essex, on the southeast coast of England. She was well outside the then 3 mile territorial limit, so although the station was unlicensed, it wasn't breaking any British laws, and it quickly built a huge audience. Some 6 weeks later, in May 1964, Caroline was joined by a competitor station, Radio Atlanta, broadcasting from the MV Mi Amigo a few miles further down the coast.
It is now 14 minutes till 1 o'clock on a Sunday morning. This is Radio Atlanta, the ship that rocks the ocean. The time is now 11 minutes until 1 o'clock. This is not the regularly scheduled format of Radio Atlanta. This is a test format. Radio Atlanta is testing with music.
The MV Caroline had two 10-kilowatt transmitters putting out a combined power of 20 kilowatts on 1520 kilohertz, while the MV Mi Amigo had a single 10-kilowatt transmitter on 1495 kilohertz. Both could comfortably reach the eastern side of London with their signals. But instead of duplicating each other's footprints, the following month the two commercial stations decided to merge, and on the 4th of July 1964, the original Caroline ship set off on a voyage around the south coast of England and then north through the Irish Sea to a new anchorage off Ramsey Bay in the Isle of Man, from where she broadcast as Radio Caroline North. This gave the station coverage of North Wales, northwest England, southern Scotland, and large parts of Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. The Radio Atlanta ship stayed put, but changed her branding to Radio Caroline South, with coverage of large parts of East Anglia, London, and the home counties. The two stations remained on the same frequencies, although both now announced the rhyming ID as Caroline on 199, even though in reality the North ship was on 197 metres and the South ship was on 201. Both stations were managed out of the same office in London and shared the same jingle package and had some pre-recorded programming in common. Most programming, though, was presented live from the ships, and the DJs did transfer from one ship to the other from time to time as needed. In 1965, the stations adopted the American Good Guys format, and they became very successful commercially. In one hair-raising incident, the South Ship dragged her anchor during a storm in January 1966 and floundered on the beach at Frinton, Essex. All the DJs and crew were safely rescued, but the ship had to be taken to Zaandam, the port of Amsterdam, for a refit, including the installation of an additional 50-kilowatt transmitter and an increase in the height of the antenna mast. When she returned to resume broadcasting a couple of months later, the frequency used was now 1187 kHz, 253 metres, which again was announced in rhyming style as Caroline on 259. Over a dozen more stations were launched around the British coasts over the period from 1964 to 1967, until eventually the British government passed the Marine Offences Broadcasting Act, which made it illegal for British citizens or companies to advertise on offshore stations or to support them in any way. The Act went into effect at midnight on August the 14th, 1967 for the UK, and on August the 31st, 1967 for the Isle of Man, which is not part of the United Kingdom. All the other stations closed down on or before the Act became law, but Ronan O'Reilly decided that Radio Caroline would continue.
This is your radio station. This is Radio Caroline. It is now 12 midnight. We recognize your right as our listener to have freedom of choice in your radio entertainment, and of course that Radio Caroline belongs to you. It is your radio station, even though it costs you nothing. And as we enter this new phase in our broadcasting history, you naturally have our assurance that we intend to stay on the air because we belong to you and we love you. Caroline continues.
The station's offices were moved to Amsterdam and arrangements were made for the tendering of the South Ship from the Netherlands and of the North Ship from Dundalk in the Republic of Ireland. Most British DJs left the stations, but a few stayed, along with one on the North Ship who was a Canadian citizen. New DJs who were prepared to flout the law were quickly recruited, however, and by the end of 1967, the South Ship, now identifying as Radio Caroline International, had arguably one of the strongest DJ lineups of any of the offshore stations. Advertising from international companies was difficult to come by, though, and most income was then derived from payments from record promoters for plugged records. In March of the following year, 1968, the Weissmuller Tug Company, which had been providing tendering services to both vessels, hijacked the two ships by cutting their anchor chains and towing them back to Amsterdam as security for unpaid bills. There the ships languished for 4 years until 1972, when they were put up for auction. The North Ship ended up being scrapped, but the South Ship, the MV Mi Amigo, was bought by a supporter of the station, and after negotiations with Ronan O'Reilly, it was taken back out to sea off the Dutch coast and relaunched as Radio Caroline, initially with test transmissions from September 1972, and with regular programming back on the familiar wavelength of 259 metres from December the 23rd. Here's DJ Crispian St. John on Christmas morning, 1972.
The last 3 hours you've been listening to non-stop music from Radio Caroline.
She is the fairest.
And time right now is just after 9 o'clock, and from now until 11 o'clock Central European time, time for Crispian St. John to play music for you. This is CSJ here with you on this Christmas Day morning. Very good morning to everybody. And hope that things have really started off with a swing.
She's on my mind, forever it seems. It seems.
No doubt there's loads to talk about, so I think we better get straight into the music, shall we? Good morning and happy Christmas.
Sound of the Nation, Radio Caroline. Crispian St. John.
Various pop and rock programming styles were experimented with over the next couple of years, and the station finally changed from top 40 to an album format, which it has largely stuck to right up to the present. In August 1974, the Dutch government introduced its own Marine Offences Act, at which point the MV Mi Amigo was moved back across the North Sea to an anchorage 12 miles offshore in the Thames estuary in a somewhat sheltered channel between two enormous sandbanks. The base of operations was then officially moved to Spain, although in practice Ronan largely ran the station on a clandestine basis from offices he leased quietly in London. Radio Caroline then continued to broadcast successfully throughout the 70s, often using both the 50kW and the 10kW transmitters on the Mi Amigo to carry different programming on separate frequencies. Most of the funding for the station during this period came from a daytime Dutch language service, which used a loophole in the Dutch anti-piracy laws by reading advertising placed in a print magazine. Interference problems in 1977 forced another change of the main frequency, from 1187, first to 953kHz and then to 962kHz, announced as 319 metres. In March 1980, however, the elements finally achieved what two governments had been unable to, and put the station off the air once again. The Mi Amigo lost her anchor in a storm, drifted onto one of the sandbanks, and sank in the Thames estuary with her antenna mast proudly poking out of the sea, still pointing skyward. Again, all the DJs and crew were safely rescued, this time taken off the ship during the storm by a lifeboat that had been standing by. During 1981 and 1982, some short-term illegal land-based transmissions were made by shortwave and medium wave, while options were evaluated for getting back on the air permanently. Financial backing was eventually secured for the purchase and outfitting of a new ship, the former Icelandic trawler, the MV Ross Revenge, and this was able to return Caroline to the air with a new 50kW RCA transmitter in August 1983. The Ross Revenge sported an amazing 300-foot antenna mast, the tallest that was ever erected on any of the offshore stations. The last voice heard from the Mi Amigo on the night it sank was that of DJ Tom Anderson. So, to demonstrate the continuity of the station, here he is again, now with the relaunch at 12 noon on Saturday, August 20th, 1983, from the Ross Revenge.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Radio Caroline on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. I'm Tom, and for the next hour, I'd like to take you on a couple of musical journeys through the past two decades. We're going to start with the Zombies and She's Not There, and follow that with the Yardbirds with Heart Full of Soul. Caroline on 319.
In October 1987, a rare hurricane hit the southeast of England, putting many radio and TV stations off the air. But amazingly, Radio Caroline was one of the few that was able to continue uninterrupted transmissions. The hurricane had caused damage to the ship, though, even though it wasn't realised at the time. It had weakened the guy wiring system holding the antenna mast in place, and had caused some of the wires to become perilously slack. The result was that in a relatively minor storm the following month, November 1987, the antenna mast came crashing down over the side of the ship. Over the following months, a new antenna system was constructed at sea using shorter masts, and the station carried on. Even a raid by the Dutch authorities in August 1989, when much of the studio and broadcast equipment on board was destroyed, only put the station off the air for a couple of months. Caroline was back by the October, albeit on low power. By 1990, a dedicated team of DJs was still keeping the station running, and from a listener's standpoint, there was little evidence that anything was seriously wrong. However, supplies on board were running extremely low of diesel fuel, food and water, and eventually the station had to close in the November of that year. The MV Ross Revenge remained at sea with a caretaker crew for another year, until she lost her anchor in a storm and grounded on the Goodwin Sands in November 1991. She became one of the very few ships to survive that experience and was eventually salvaged and towed into Dover Harbour. Throughout the 1990s, Radio Caroline ran a series of some 13 low-power one-month special event broadcasts under what the British Office of Communications, or Ofcom, the licensing authority, calls restricted service licenses, or RSLs. All of these were broadcast from the studios on board the ship, which was towed to various quayside locations around the Thames estuary region. Most were on FM, although a couple used AM, including the last in 2004. In addition to this, the station leased time on several satellite services during the 90s and started its own satellite channel in 1998. A full-time internet web stream was begun in June 2000 and the station hasn't looked back since. For some years it was carried on the WorldSpace satellite service, which gave it coverage of most of Europe, Africa and Asia. But eventually the satellite services were dropped in favour of expanded use of DAB in the UK, and in 2016 a secondary channel was launched called Caroline Flashback, which has an oldies format with music from the late 50s to the early 80s. In December 2017, the station was given the opportunity to use an antenna at the former BBC World Service facility at Orford Ness on the Suffolk coast, but using their own transmitter on the former BBC frequency of 648 kHz. This is licensed by Ofcom as a community station, but a power increase from 1 to 4 kilowatts was subsequently approved, and the station is once again heard on AM on both sides of the North Sea. In the early 2020s, a solar panel array was installed, such that during the daytime, the transmitter is entirely solar powered, and excess power generator is sent into the grid. Caroline is believed to be the only solar powered AM station in the UK. The major need now is for the MV Ross Revenge to be dry docked so that a number of issues can be dealt with, and over $200,000 has so far been raised from supporters for that purpose. Radio Caroline has a very dedicated listener base with several regional support groups, one of which is being held in the Southampton area this coming Wednesday evening, September the 11th. I and a number of other Caroline presenters are planning to be there, and I'll be running an offshore radio-themed pub-style quiz. If you're in southern England, I'd love to see you there. And if you want more information, please email me, either at wavescan@yahoo.com or at rayrobinson@carolineflashback.co.uk. Back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Ray. Next week, Ray Robinson will be bringing us one final story in the Radio Weddings series, with a wedding that took place on the radio ship MV Caroline in 1966. The High Frequency Coordination Conference, or HFCC, took place in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, on August 26 to 30th. This was the B-24 conference to coordinate shortwave frequencies for the season beginning on October 27th. At the last A-24 HFCC conference in Malaysia, I spoke with Daniel Robinson, head of Red Telecom, which sponsored the B-24 meeting, along with the Uzbek Ministry of Digital Technologies.
Now, you're based in Toronto, Canada, right?
I am now, yes.
Now, tell me a little bit about Red Telecom.
So, Red Telecom has been in an operation since about 94, and we set up the company to work in Central Asia, where I was living at the time, and working. We started working. This is post-Soviet Union.
You said you were in Dushanbe, right?
Exactly, in Tajikistan, where I was based, and I saw an opportunity after I spent time there and met people there to set up a company dealing with radio broadcasting. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a lot of assets in that region that people didn't know what to do with. So we...
are you talking about radio shortwave sites?
Shortwave sites, correct. Shortwave and medium wave sites. And that's what we did. And effectively became brokers of working with the local authorities of leasing their facilities, their shortwave and medium wave, and then finding customers in the West that wanted to... that had a need for that to broadcast to Asia, primarily Africa, perhaps Indian subcontinent, and so forth. And so I was based there myself and my company for many years, and got tired of that, at least being based there, and moved back to Canada We still have a presence there with staff, but I personally now live in Canada.
Now, are most of your clients religious broadcasters or political or a mix?
It's a mix. Religious, governmental. We work with other companies such as mine, similar to mine, Encompass, other brokers, I would say, that have their own relationship. They have relation with their clients, it's a very, as you know, a very tight-knit, very small-knit community, a niche, one could say, a market in broadcasting that most people don't know about. And we, as we're meeting now at the HFCC in Kuala Lumpur, meet twice a year. Have an opportunity to see people face-to-face, discuss any new developments and any business opportunities. And then we each, deal with our respective clients and markets and take information and opportunities and go forward with them. So, yeah. So we have a very strong presence, as we do in Uzbekistan, in Tajikistan, in Armenia. We have agreements and been working for many years with Bulgaria and other locations as needs arise and so forth.
In
the shortwave and the medium wave spectrum.
Are there shortwave sites in all of these Stan countries?
Yeah, but some of them have already closed. Kazakhstan, they had sites, but they didn't, either for budgetary reasons or for various other reasons, they decided to close them and repossess land and so forth. They, as they did in Russia, also they didn't see a future in shortwave, but now with the events in the region, they're finding that there is a need for them, right? So.
Now, I can remember, as a shortwave listener, all of these countries had, I think all of them, had international services on shortwave, broadcasting, programs, news, and so on about their countries. Do any of these international services exist anymore from those countries?
Not so much in radio or in long, high-frequency radio. I think you have that kind of migrate to satellite. So TV channels, and they've kind of transferred that necessity to TV. Radio has kind of fallen the wayside, but they do have these countries, as you rightly so, most of them had facilities, and rather than just throwing away, which some of them did, or tearing them down, they decided to try to put it to use, and that's where we kind of came in as a partner to do that. It does take time, investment, people, money to maintain that, but at the end of the day, it is worthwhile. So they continue to do that. Our next meeting will be in Tashkent. The next HFCC meeting will be in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, which really the first time, I believe, in the HFCC history that it'll be done in Central Asia, which is great as the organization kind of expands to other regions and maintains the interest of this medium, of this broadcasting medium, not just on the internet, but still old school, analog, right? So there's still the need for it, but you do need to kind of bring in other areas, I think regional areas that have maintained the interest there.
That was Daniel Robinson of Red Telecom previewing for us the B24 HFCC Shortwave Frequency Coordination Conference, which took place in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, August 26th to the 30th. We were there at that conference in Uzbekistan, and we'll be talking more about it here on Wavescan during the coming weeks. Right now, though, it's over to Henry Umaray in the Philippines.
Hello, everyone, to all our dear shortwave listeners, wherever you are, welcome to the September 8th edition of the Philippine DX. This is report number 210. I'm Henry Umaray in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental, Central Philippines. Glad to be back, and thank you for listening. Reception lags for August 2024 August 3, China Radio International on 11905 in English from Chinua at 1000 SIO 555. August 3, BBC World Service on 9410 in English from Tinang at 1002 SIO 434. August 3, FEBC Radio on 9400 in Cantonese from Bukawi at 1054 SIO 333. August 3, Radio Taiwan International on 9595 in Chinese from Paochong at 1055 SAO 434. August 3, FABC Radio on 9795 in Vietnamese from Iba Sambales at 1005 SAO 333. August 10, Voice of Vietnam on 9580 in Vietnamese from Hanoi Suntay at 1106 SAO 333. August 10, Adventist World Radio KSDA on 11855 in Chinese from Agat Guam at 1107 SIO 333. August 10, Transworld Radio KTWR on 15310 in Mongolian from Mariso Guam at 1110 SIO 333. August 10, Adventist World Radio on 15500 in Indonesian from Agat Guam at 1112 SIO 555. August 10, RTMY Limbang FM on 11665 in Indonesian from Kanchang at 1115 SIO 555. August 10, Radio Taiwan International on 9740 in Japanese from Paochong at 1147 SIO 433. And August 10, China Radio International on 12070 in Filipino from Nanning at 1149 SIO 555. Send us your comments, suggestions, reception lags, and informations to PilipinasDX@gmail.com. That's PilipinasDX for PilipinasDX@gmail.com. This has been Henry Umaday for Wavescan in Bacolod City, Negros Occidental Central, Philippines. Ay mabuhay at maraming salamat po.
Thank you, Henry. We end Wavescan today with folk music from Uzbekistan. Thanks for listening to Wavescan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week, Radio Weddings, Part 10. More from the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters meeting in 2024, the annual meeting, and our Bangladesh DX report. Wavescan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.